Mark in the Morning comes to you from the studios of 100.3 The Sound in Los Angeles. In Southern California, hear it happen live without a net from 6 to 10 a.m. Weekdays on 100.3 FM.
Now, Andy is a huge fan of Creedence.
Couldn't be a bigger fan.
And I've met John Fogerty on so many occasions, one of the sweetest men I've ever known. The day is going to come that I'm going to introduce you to him.
Ah, can't wait. You know, the closest I feel I've gotten to him is, I saw his sound checks and stuff and saw him work and really enjoyed, you know, being in his presence. But he did a Reddit, what do they call it, an AMA,
Ask Me Anything.
A couple years ago. Go back and find that thing. I've never seen an artist open up more honestly to fans than he did in that interview. It was really, really amazing stuff.
The day will come, and I've got something else for you today, but I'm not going to reveal it right now. We have the FCC required legal ID. Gina is on the board. Good luck to you.
Well, as Andy says, it's not Gina today. It's Madonna. Strike a pose. There's nothing to it. Vogue. 100.3 The Sound is KSWD-FM and HD1 Los Angeles and Orange County, Southern California's classic rock.
I love how there was a British in there.
Well,
Madonna British.
Yeah. Well, today on the program, as you know, Hillary announced that she is running for president. And her husband is busy, but we did get him to agree to join us on the phone. Today we speak with President Clinton.
Wow.
Here on the program. Yeah.
That's a good get.
It is a good get, and we're going to talk to him. Sports, Todd Donahoe, Dancing with the Stars update today. And to be honest with you, I have been sitting with the Skeeter and watching it. And right now, there are three. Well, I don't want to get into it. We'll do it when we do it. So Dancing with the Stars with Skeeter and Todd. We've got the Sklar brothers. These boys are funny. We're going to be talking with them. A very special message shortly after 7 o'clock. All will be revealed. And I'm going to share a story. My wife is going to join me about 7:40 because this past weekend, and I'm not going to say I was surprised, but we almost divorced each other this weekend. Yeah.
Wow.
And I'll fully explain everything, all of that. We've got a bunch of crap you don't need to hear, but we're going to share it with you anyway. All of it coming up momentarily. Business in back. This is Mark in the Morning, 100.3 The Sound. What do you say we rock the dump?
When you are.
Listen, this is David Gates and Bread.
Okay.
Blasphemous comments.
I found your diary underneath the tree.
This right here is a made-for-TV movie
and
in 3 minutes.
Reading about
See, he's reading a diary about himself.
Yeah, it's more like an after-school special.
Tori Spelling has seen better days. Easter Sunday brunch turned into a disaster when the reality star burned herself on the hibachi grill and needed to be hospitalized.
Oy.
According to the Daily Mail, Tori tripped and fell face first.
I was going to say that as a joke.
No.
Onto a scorching hot grill.
Oh, no.
As she was leaving Benihana's Japanese restaurant in Encino, California.
If I did that, my chin would melt.
She tried to play brave for the kids, not scare the kids, but she wound up being taken to the hospital and treated.
Oy.
Tori Spelling, who, by the way, I find hard to look at. There's something bizarre about her face. I don't know what it is. Am I wrong? Am I the only guy here or what?
No,
same thing with Suzanne Summers.
I think there's a similarity as to why, perhaps, with those two.
Yeah, plastic surgery,
yeah,
you mean?
Yeah.
Because, I mean, Suzanne Summers, her mouth is like the Joker. And she got kicked off last night on Dancing with the Stars, which is good because I don't have to look at her anymore.
Love that Joker.
All right, Eagles, we've got much to do. And by the way, if you want to call, comments, or whatever, it's 888-696-1003. Or check us out online, markinthemorning.com. Here is Eagles on Mark in the Morning. This is Southern California's classic rock. Eagles, Mark in the Morning, 100.3 The Sound. It is 888-696-1003. I'm going to give everybody listening a gift today. And if you choose to accept it, you will basically bring in an obsession into your life. But there is an end to it. So it's a good gift. And I'll explain fully. By the way, I am a self-confessed, and I'm not hiding from the fact, as a kid, a hobby that I absolutely became obsessed with was building and flying model rockets.
Really?
Yeah. What I loved about it was that I have a brain that, well, I've got tiger blood. I'm like Charlie Sheen.
Right.
You don't want this brain.
Adonis DNA.
Yeah, yeah. And so the as a kid, building these rockets, they were very intensive instructions where you had to really focus. Mm-hmm. And sometimes you would measure 3 inches and 4/16. It had to be that exact. And I really enjoyed losing whatever I was doing at the time and digging into this. Well, we, as an adult, I still build them to this day.
You do? When's the last time you built one?
I've got one in there right now. I haven't looked at it in a year. I seem to be busy. But what's cool is that in California, we would go out to what I think is Lucerne. It's a flatbed out there.
Okay.
And my little rockets are embarrassing because I got out there on a weekend where they were flying the big boys. And I'm talking some of them are 7 feet tall.
Wow.
And they fly them. Well, a listener of ours is a rocketeer. And he built one of the big ones, and it is a Mark in the Morning 100.3 The Sound rocket.
Stop. Is this the one it. I saw on, I just saw this on Facebook. Actually, let me correct you. It's Skid Mark.
Yes. Yes.
He put a Skid Mark sticker on it.
And he flew it this past weekend. I was, as a rocketeer, I was so proud of what he did. So if you want to see it, it's on markinthemorning.com.
Is there footage of it flying on there?
No, I don't know. Yeah, he just sent a photograph.
Wow, I want to see one fly sometime. I want to see one of the big ones fly.
I
had a friend who did the little ones, you know, mm-hmm. the ones that are about the as tall as a Coke bottle.
Right.
When I was a kid, he would fly those every night, and it's just, you know, it's gone. You know, it's like a bottle rocket, but I'd like to see one of the big ones go.
I'm telling you, if you, because you can find the date that they do it like every other weekend or whatever, and you pick up some KFC or whatever you like, drive out with the family. Put some chairs down.
No, I don't want to go anywhere. I want them to bring it to me and launch it off the top of this building.
Yeah.
I just don't see that happening.
All right.
Because these things go, the big ones go for miles.
Really?
Oh, yeah. They have to get in chase Jeeps to go get it.
Wow.
Yeah, it's pretty crazy. Ireland Baldwin revealed today that she has checked into rehab to deal with, quote, emotional trauma. The 19-year-old daughter of Alec and Kim Basinger checked herself into Sober Recovery Center, a Malibu treatment facility that specializes in psychological disorder and addiction. Ireland tweeted that she is trying to, quote, rid myself of all the pain I locked away in unreachable places. I wonder where it is that trauma could have come from.
I don't know. We could have called her on St. Patrick's Day. Why didn't we think of that? Ireland? Ireland Baldwin? No.
Yeah, instead we called Kathy
Ireland. She's still on the phone, by the way.
I feel like I'm still listening to it. So, Gina, you had a Twitter troll situation.
Yeah, it was really interesting because, you know, I'm really active on social media and I love interacting with people. I love telling people what's going on. And usually 99% of the time people are so cool. They're making jokes. We're having fun. They're complimentary, whatever. And sometimes they're not. And you ignore those, whatever. But last night, there was nothing good on TV, so there was nothing else to do. So I had to teach a troll a lesson. Basically, this guy, I will repeat this just so I quote him accurately.
And warmly.
And warmly, as he did to me. Here we go. Sorry, I thought I had this right here. Here we go.
She's got to sort through 50 tweets.
Thank you.
She tweets
a lot.
Every minute.
I'm a tweeter.
She makes me raise my game because I try to keep on the same lap as her and I can't.
It's very hard. And there's going to be a lot of initials in this, so please try and follow along. F U, you left-wing POS. I stooped listening because you're, Y-O-U-R, a Jew vote for Israel.
Wow.
Not sure what that means because I never talk about religion or political. I don't know, Hector Projector. So I thought, you know, let me do a little investigating myself. Well, I saw on his Twitter account, his full name and what he does for a living. So all I did was take a screenshot of his tweet to me and wrote, if you're planning on doing business with this person, please know what you're signing up for. That was retweeted, and Andy will know that this is an impressive number, 42 times.
Wow.
Since then, the guy unsuccessfully tried to change his Twitter handle and unsuccessfully tried to change his picture. But
nice.
All I'm saying is, if you're going to tweet that, you must take responsibility for it. And I said, if this, and he works in marketing, think he'd know better. If you're going to do business with this person in marketing, please know what you're signing
up for. What precipitated? Were you were you talking about politics?
No clue.
Nothing.
No.
Nothing
and
like that.
I stoop at red stoop signs all the time. So I understand when you're so fired up, you really want to get everything grammatically correct and spell it accurately, but that wasn't the case in this gentleman's name.
Oh.
Yeah. So you have to take responsibility for the things you say.
I love everything I'm hearing from everybody who's saying it.
That's a great lesson. We have a daily lesson here.
Yeah. Yes.
Today's lesson is the internet is a tattoo.
Yes.
Everything you put out there, it seems like a few keystrokes that are on their way to Mars. No, mm-mm. It's there forever.
And as my good buddy Tim Conway Jr. used to say, when you're drunk or high or whatever, the phone and the computer are not your friend.
This brings up a parenting moment that I had with Katie. Knowing that I was going to bring Katie in, which, by the way, she'll be in here tomorrow and Thursday.
Sweet.
So Katie has never worked in an establishment like this. She worked at a makeup store, but it's not quite the same. She was coming in to the sound. And I said, and Katie, you might have noticed, she's a talker. And sometimes, sometimes she'll share things about herself that she probably shouldn't. And so what I said to her, I said, listen, you're going to be in a building working with people. And before you get into a really heartfelt conversation with somebody and you're about to share something about yourself, I want you to imagine that you're holding a microphone and that microphone is blasted into a speaker, a giant speaker that is in every room in the building of the sound. And as you say the words, every person who works there will hear what you're saying because that's actually the case. Mm-hmm. Whatever it is you share will be reshared and reshared, and everybody will know your business. Hopefully, she listened. Now, Andy's staring at me like, she's already told me some crap that I don't really need to know.
Yeah, I know where the bodies are buried, dude.
In the desert.
My favorite Katie moment off the air was when she came back from that first trip to Norm's and she comes in here and Mark is going to give her a little bit of feedback because it's her first time out on the street, and he said, do you remember what I told you? She said, shut up and do what you tell me. No, that's not that. The other thing I told you.
Be yourself.
You know, the funny part about that is that is exactly what I told her. Shut up and just do what I told you.
She said it with 100% sincerity.
Yeah.
There was no irony whatsoever. Shut up and do as I'm told.
I'm laughing at myself.
Yeah. Gina and I both got that talk, right?
Absolutely.
All right, so when we come back, I got a little something for you, Andy, a little gift you may not know about, and this may be something you want to go do, so I'll run that by you momentarily.
Right.
Plus, Andy's capsule is 20 minutes away, and he said, off the air to Gina and I, today's capsule may be the finest one that I've ever done.
It's going to change your life.
Wow.
It's going to change your life. It's going to share something with you that you will absolutely want to share with others.
This is a man that walks the talk, Andy's capsule in 20. This is Mark in the Morning, 100.3 The Sound. Well, I'm dying to find out what's trending. How about you? Here's Gina.
Well, the rideshare company Uber set up a prototype kiosk in Toronto where you can blow into a breathalyzer and be offered a free ride home if you're over the legal limit. A Russian marketing company lets business pay to advertise their brand on women's breasts. And I can't even tell you the name of the company on the air, but I'll tell you during a commercial. And here's what's trending in sports. If the Lakers lose to the Sacramento Kings on Wednesday, they will be the worst team in the franchise's 67-year history.
Yay!
Wow.
Crazy, right?
Records!
I'm Gina Grad, and that's what's trending online on Mark in the Morning. And now, Peter Gabriel. This is 100.3 The Sound, Southern California's classic rock.
Thank you, Mr. Gabriel. Shortly after 7 o'clock, we have a very special message to share. And at 7:25, we speak with President Bill Clinton.
Wow.
Looking forward to it. Phone number in here is 888-696-1003. A little something for Andrew.
Mm. Love it.
Well, ELO's mastermind and traveling Wilbury, Jeff Lynn, is going to join some of his best friends in front of the Capitol Records Tower in L.A. A week from Thursday, April 23rd, Jeff Lynn will become the 2,548th star on the Hollywood Walk of Fame. The ceremony is going to take place in front of the iconic company headquarters on Vine Street, where buddies Ringo Starr and Paul McCartney and the late fellow Wilburys George Harrison and Roy Orbison also have their stars. Tom Petty and Joe Walsh are guest speakers for the induction. It is going to be streamed live on thewalkoffame.com at 2:30 Eastern, 11:30 Pacific. So, Andrew, if you were to head down there, you could actually see him.
That's a group of some of my favorite musical people left on this planet, right there. Joe Walsh and Jeff Lynne, Ringo Starr. I mean, that's fun.
But Andy, to be fair, when it comes to the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, they're no Madonna.
Well, that's true. Right, Donna Summer and Madonna. Right. They're Rock and Roll Hall of Fame material.
Well, this thing, and we'll get into it, but Madonna went and kissed Drake at Coachella. He was on stage performing.
Yes, he was. That video.
Was she invited on stage, or did she just walk out there?
I think these days that you there's no spontaneity. There's no way they could have pulled this off without him knowing. But he did look horrified.
Wow.
Did you see the clip? She gets over him, just plants this suffocating kiss on him. He's squirming, trying to get out. Then she gets up. She looks at the crowd and goes, "Bitch, I'm Madonna." And he goes, "Wow. What the bleep just happened?"
Wow.
She, now at this point, it's like when your old 80-year-old aunt comes at you when you're a kid and she wants a toothy
lipstick.
Kiss.
Yeah.
Come here, give me a little kiss.
That's what it looked like.
Yeah.
Yesterday on Fat Crap or somewhere in between, we read a story about her where she is just a desperate cry for help. She wants attention. Album's not selling. Played a clip from it. I'm buying every bit of that one that we read.
Yeah, I think she's grasping at straws.
But put yourself in Madonna's position, which I know is not something you do very often. None of us do.
You don't know that.
She's been a star her entire life. She doesn't remember probably a time where she wasn't revered by the world. So what kind of psychological craziness must be going through her head to go, "Wait, I'm the star of the world, and all of a sudden my star's fading. She'll do anything to stay in that spotlight. She doesn't know another life."
It's a valid point. I remember hearing Quincy Jones in an interview being asked about Michael Jackson, and you know, Thriller had what, 7 top 10 hits on it, one after another after another after another, and finally, like the 7th one, he was on top of the charts for so long, and when the 7th one started slipping down out of the top 10, Michael called him and said, what can you do about getting it back up? And it's falling down. What can you do at that point? He's had that hole in him filled,
Andy,
so many times.
I know what you can do. Friday's station ID.
Let's go to Jim. He's calling from Corona about this very topic. Good morning, Jim.
Good morning. How you doing?
Really good. How are you?
I'm doing all right. Good to hear your voice back in town.
Thank you, my brother.
Yeah, did you see his face? Unreal.
Yeah, we were just talking about it. I don't even know. I'm assuming she was invited to come out there because you just can't charge a stage of a person. But, yeah, he was shocked and then said to the crowd, "What the F just happened?"
Exactly. I couldn't stop laughing after I saw that.
Well, and they even said he actively avoided her at the after party.
I would, too.
Well, Jim, as always, thank you for listening and thank you for the call.
Great. Thank you. You guys have a good day.
Bye.
So if you pull up Drake Madonna kiss on Google, the top headline says, "Drake, I wasn't disgusted by Madonna kiss. It was her gnarly lipstick."
Yeah.
I know that I've told this story, but this is the perfect time to retell it. And this was the moment that I started hating Madonna, and I'll never, ever spend any money on her. We spent way too much money to go to the Staples Center to see Madonna, took Linda and all the kids, and we're there. And it's so hot in there that sweat is dripping off the ends of my hair. And so Michael Roth, who works it, I called him over and said, Michael, turn on some air. And he goes, we can't. Contractually, Madonna likes it this hot because it keeps her voice lucid. And I'm bitching about it. And about that time, a guy who's sitting behind me who has overheard this conversation, he leans over and he whispers into my ear, you're in Madonna's world now. And I sat there and watched her sing seven songs I had never heard from. She had guys wearing nothing crawling out in collars and leather masks.
Yeah.
And she was whipping them and riding them.
For human
and
nature.
It took an hour to sing a song that I had frickin' heard of. Madonna. And then she started playing the guitar and she sucked because she just learned, hey, Madonna, and I'm not kidding, you can kiss my ass.
But Mark, with her vocal cords all loose like that, she probably sounded like Pavarotti or Maria Callas, right?
Yeah, well, she looked like Pavarotti too. So,
Charlie Callas.
I didn't mean to dust that off. A little pissed off. Okay, so remain where you are. The best capsule Andy has ever done is 10 minutes away.
Don't make a liar out of Mark.
You're gonna tell your children about this. You're going to want to put this time capsule in a time capsule.
Wow. This is Mark in the Morning, 100.3 The Sound.
Take this job and shove it. I ain't working here no more.
An Australian woman, and everybody listen because we've all done this. An Australian woman who accidentally sent a text to her boss about what a complete jerk he is now has a lot of free time to send texts because he fired her for it. Louise Nesbitt said she meant to send the text to her daughter's boyfriend, and it was meant as a joke, but she accidentally sent it to the boss. He didn't think it was funny, and he fired her.
Oh.
And so she's lawyering up, claiming he can't fire her for that.
I think he probably can, but it begs another question. Why is she texting her daughter's boyfriend?
Weird.
Yeah.
I missed that. I missed that detail.
A clever ruse to dissuade everybody's attention that she's sleeping with her daughter's boyfriend.
Wow.
Wow.
But have you guys ever done this? Because I have.
You've done this before?
Yes, I have.
You sent a text to your boss.
Accidentally. My boss. Yes. And she came up to me and said, what is this? And I looked at it and I almost had a heart attack. And I said to her very calmly, fill in the blank. Phyllis, let's call her. Phyllis, fill in the blank. Do you really think if I was trying to send something bad, as if I was trying to talk bad about you, I would send it to you? It was obviously a joke. She goes, oh, and I walked away and had a heart attack.
That is awesome.
Yeah.
That
do you
worked.
Really think I'd be that stupid? I would, but do you really think?
So I guess we know Gina's a good liar.
Yeah,
great liar. Thank you.
Yeah, the next time Gina says something like that to me, I'm gonna.
That's the thing. I'm a terrible liar, which is why I never do it. Did you believe that?
Yeah.
Hey, Gina, do that nervous laugh again. That was funny.
I'm a little worried that Gina's smarter than I am.
Oh, trust me, my brother.
Nobody's smarter than you, Andy.
See, now you were lying right there.
Here's the Zombies on 100.3 The Sound.
She's
Southern
good.
California's class. Do it again, Gina. Do it. Love me some Zombies. 100.3 The Sound. Southern California's classic rock. Mark in the Morning. We're talking about texting, accidentally texting. I have to share this story. It is one of the funniest things that I've personally ever heard, and it's at the foothills of my wife, Skeeter. Back in the Mark and Brian days, I would get up and shower and drive to work, and then somewhere around 6:30 or 7, I would text. She would say, hi, good morning, meaning mm-hmm. I'm up. And I would, most every day, I would say, what are we doing for dinner? Because I am the cook in the house. Linda finds the recipes, goes to the grocery store, prepares the ingredients, but I'm a pretty good cook, and so I do all the cooking. Huh. And I wanted to know what we're doing so I could prepare. Are we going to go to a restaurant, or am I cooking? So one day, she's sitting in the kitchen. Amy and Katie are there. This is not that long ago. This is 5 years ago. And she gets a text and it says, what are we doing for dinner? And so she texts back, why don't we eat each other? And sends it. And then she looks and realizes that she sent that to her son.
Oh, no.
And
oh,
she,
no.
And she freaks out. And the two, our daughters, what did you do? She then has to explain to her daughters what she just did.
Oh, no.
And then Matthew's response was my funniest. He responded, what?
Was it ever spoken of again between?
Oh,
in therapy, every week he speaks of it.
Well, my favorite was I think that was right at our last Mark and Brian Christmas show, and I would always introduce my family. Mm-hmm. So we're standing there on stage in front of 8,000 people, and I told that story. With her just staring at her. It's just, you gotta love you some Skeeter.
That's awesome.
Shortly after 7, we have a special message we're going to share, and I love this, and she's gone. I guess we're going to call her back. Irma, a mom, has called. Her son is a musician. She wants to wake him up and then make him play the guitar half asleep.
Nice.
And I think she's going for Van Halen tickets, so prepare. But now, ladies and gentlemen, apparently, the capsule that we're going to be talking about for years.
That's great.
Let's jump both feet into Andy's classic rock time capsule.
It's time to open Andy's classic rock time capsule.
One for the ages. All right, this is the classic rock time capsule for Tuesday, April 14th, 2015. It's a special day in rock history, Mark and Gina. It's the anniversary of a momentous event that happened on this day in 1967. It's the day that 20-year-old David Bowie releases his novelty single, The Laughing Gnome. Have you ever heard it?
I have not.
You are in for a treat. You're about to have the privilege of sharing this with me because this whole time capsule is about The Laughing Gnome. Yeah, this little ditty, David carries on a conversation with a jovial title character, The Laughing Gnome. Listen. 67.
I was walking down the high street when I heard footsteps behind me, and there was a little old man, scarlet and gray.
Yeah,
wow. Away.
This isn't real.
Chipmunky gnome's voice contributing there. It has all sorts of puns in here, right? Like, he says, haven't you got a home to go to? No, I'm a gnome mad.
Oh.
Wow.
Laughing all day.
Dig it.
Oh, to report you to the gnome office. I'm a laughing gnome and you can't catch me.
Oh, so good.
Now, knowing David Bowie as the great David Bowie,
uh-huh,
you got to wonder what was on his mind at this point.
Well,
gnomes.
First, let's talk about how the press responds. One critic hails it the flop it deserved to be. New Musical Express says it's undoubtedly the most embarrassing example of Bowie juvenilia. But not everybody pans it. One author calls it, quote, a supremely catchy children's song. Another says, quote, the world would be a duller place without it. Indeed. Another sample.
On the edge of my bed with his brother whose name was Fred. He brought him along to sing me a song. Glad to hear it.
So good.
What's that clicking noise?
A couple of developments since 1967 that I thought I'd share with you, though. First, 1973, after David has emerged internationally, you know, with the success of Ziggy Stardust, Decca Records re-releases the song. It goes all the way to number 6 on the UK charts. This is a top 10 hit, people.
Haven't you got a gnome to go to?
No, we're nomads.
Didn't they literally get your hair cut at school? You look like a rolling gnome.
Yeah, not at the London School of
Economics. It's so good.
Economics.
My favorite thing. Economics. My favorite thing, though, happens in 1990. David Bowie's mounting his Sound and Vision tour. Well, he decides to let the set list be decided by telephone vote.
Uh-oh.
The New Musical Express folks launch a call-in campaign called Just Say Gnome to get The Laughing Gnome forced onto David Bowie's set list. Funny thing happens, the telephone voting mysteriously stops. No explanation given.
The Laughing Gnome and you can't catch me.
Now, Andy, on behalf of Los Angeles.
Yes. You're welcome.
Who's going to be singing this all day? We hate you.
Well, I thought that while I would share some David Bowie to sing us out on the classic rock time capsule. Once again, one more time. Okay, no, I'll do this one instead. You're listening to Mark in the Morning on 100.3 The Sound, Southern California's classic rock, and you're welcome.
Look, Bullwinkle, a message in a bottle.
Fan mail from some flounder?
No, this is what I really call a
no.
message.
No. No.
This is an email, and I don't know that I'm supposed to be reading this to you, but I'm Perfect. Going to. This is from Dave Biesing. He is the program director, operations manager here at The Sound. It is to the Mark in the Morning team. As you know, with your help, The Sound set new ratings records in February. In March, we topped that yet again and set a new record. Just over a year ago, The Sound was 23rd. We have built steadily and are now 6th.
Wow.
In the mornings, we are also 6th. I am tearing up with pride as I type this. Number 6 in the morning already? Out of what, 50 stations? Meanwhile, Uncle Joe is getting incredible ratings in middays. He gave me a big burly man hug just now. I have never seen him happier.
I imagine Neil's this music playing in the background as they were hugging.
Man sweat, yeah. Glistening bodies, yeah.
Slow
all
motion.
Good. Nielsen will not let us publicize specifics beyond that, but let's just say this. This morning show cannot do any better with men. It's virtually impossible. And the women audience is growing quickly as well. Thank you for gelling as a team so quickly and welcoming so many new listeners to The Sound. Please keep sharing the hijinks, shenanigans, and tomfoolery with Southern California. And would it kill you to play an extra song now and then?
Yes.
And he goes, and I mean really. Love you, Dave Bisi.
Right. Hey, he's getting awesome. Some Tina Turner out of it. What do you want?
Yeah, there's your song. So, not to get odd about it, but I don't know that I've ever had a better time at doing what it is that I love doing, and that's yapping into a microphone. And to be introduced to two fantastic new co-hosts, Andy Chandley, Gina Grad, the moment that this offer was made to me to come do this, I knew that Danny Mizrahi was the guy that needed to produce it. And I don't know why we hired Jackie. But listen, all kidding aside, the fact that you guys who listen to what we try to do each day, and that's inform you and entertain you, it means the world that you're doing that. And it touches a special place for me to be able to proudly say we have done so very well, so very quickly. Just a heartfelt thank you so very much. This is Mark in the Morning. This is 100.3 The Sound, and this is Queen. Queen, Mark in the Morning, 100.3 The Sound, and momentarily, in about 15 minutes, we're speaking with the President of the United States, Bill wow. Clinton. His wife has announced her candidacy, so we'll speak with him.
It's a big get. They call that
it
a
is
get.
It's a huge get is what it is, as they say in the business. Hmm. Let's go to Irma. She has called us from Sylmar. Good morning, Irma.
Good morning, Mark. How are you?
Really good. How are you?
I'm great. It's so nice to have you back on the air, and you have a great show, just a wonderful show.
You're very nice. We all thank you for that.
I would like to win some Van Halen tickets, and I'd like to wake up my son, who today's his day off from work. when last time Van Halen was in L.A., I had tickets, and I had to sell my tickets because I had, as a mom, I thought it was best that I needed to go see his last high school concert that he was performing in.
Oh, wow.
And it took me a week to decide, should I go to the concert, oh. Should I go to the Van Halen concert, or should I go to his concert? So I chose to sell the Van Halen tickets, and I think that my son owes me some Van Halen tickets, and he's a great, he can play Eruption and a lot of Van Halen licks really well.
Okay, all right, so even though it's your son, we're going to have to get his permission to go on the air. So, Andy, would you put Jackie's mic up? We'll listen to Jackie. She's now going to call your son, and okay. we'll try to wake him up and get this done. Now, Gina, we do have Van Halen tickets, right?
We have two pairs in the whole booty box.
Now, Irma, if this sucks, I'm not giving them to you.
Okay, no problem. All right. I don't deserve them.
And by the way, that thing that you went to with your son, it sucked, didn't it?
Yes, I actually sold the tickets. I did. I actually sold the tickets to my other son's elementary teacher.
Wow.
Wow.
All right, Jackie, are we dialing?
Yeah, it's ringing.
Ringing.
Okay.
Hi, may I speak to Vince? Hi, Vince. My name is Jackie. I'm calling from 100.3 The Sound's Mark in the Morning Show. And your mom wants you to be on the radio. So is it cool if we air you? 100.3 The Sound. Sorry,
it's
were you sleeping?
It's a radio station.
He sounds
you were
asleep.
Sleeping? Okay, all right. Here you are. You're on the radio now.
What's his name?
Vince.
Vincent.
Hey, Vince.
Yeah, what's going on?
How was what time did you go to bed last night, Vince?
It was like 2 a.m, man. It was my day off, though.
What do you do for a living?
I went to bed late.
What do you do for a living, Vince?
I'm a banker, so
how old
I have to get up usually in the morning, kind of early.
How old are you?
I'm 24.
What are you wearing right now?
I'm wearing a shirt and boxers.
Oh, it's got to be a good look. Do you have a girlfriend?
Yes, I do.
What's her name?
Her name's Vanessa.
Is she hot?
She's a good looker. I'll give
her that. Vincent and Vanessa, that has a nice ring to it.
It does. Maybe I can get her phone number. Listen, Vincent, we've got your mom, Irma, here on the phone. And as you know, Van Halen is coming up pretty soon. And your mom had tickets to a Van Halen show years ago, but you had some stupid play or something at school. And so she decided that as a mother, she had to sell her Van Halen tickets and go see your thing, which she told us all that it was awful. So now it is her belief that you owe her. Where is your guitar?
I have it in my room.
aren't you in your room right now? Or are you sleeping in the garage?
Yeah, I have it across from me, actually, yeah.
All right, get up and plug in your guitar and get ready and strap it on. The guitar, I mean.
All right. Give me a second.
What's the matter with you?
Let us know when you're ready.
All right.
Why is your girlfriend in bed with you?
Oh, her dad would not be happy with that.
Your dad or hers?
Her dad.
We'll call him in a minute and get that all straight.
Yeah, I appreciate it. Thanks. I'll help you get.
All right, are you ready?
All right, I'm set up.
All right, so your mom wants you to play Eruption.
Cool. All right, can you guys hear me?
Yeah.
All right, let me start.
He just woke up.
Wow. I think I like Eruption better over the phone. Wow.
Nice.
Wow. Hey, Vince.
All right.
Dude. A very rocker style of all right. Hey, dude, not only was it rocking, but you just woke up and did that.
Yeah, I know. Actually, it's my favorite guitar player. So I have his Eddie Van Halen guitar and the 5150 amp. So
nice.
That's my idol.
Well, the fact of the matter is your mom used you, as she should have, to get these tickets. Irma, you are going to see Van Halen.
No, wait, you better be bringing me.
Irma, who are you taking to the concert?
My son, of course.
All right. You're the best mom ever.
Well, Vince, listen, that was really well done. Are you chasing your dream? Are you in bands? Are you trying to be in the music business?
I know I play for fun. Unfortunately, I don't have time because I just graduated. I just got my securities licenses, so I'm trying to focus on work. But I mean, I can't ever give up my love. You know, my guitar. So that's why it's still here in my room set up.
Well, listen, you're a good kid. Your mom, as she said, she did the parental thing, sold her tickets, but you have officially paid her back now. You are talented, the very best to your Vince, and thanks for going on with us.
Oh, my God. Thank you so much. My pleasure, you guys.
Let's talk to you soon. Irma, you stand by. Jackie's going to give you 2 tickets and tell you exactly how to pick them up. And, Irma, thank you for listening to the program.
Oh, thank you so much, Mark.
We'll talk to you soon, sweetie.
All right.
You know, Mark, Vince is the absolute embodiment of the phrase that success is 10% inspiration and 90% preparation. I mean, he was ready to go.
And I love the fact that he likes to rock, but he's got some sense and realizes that ain't no way to live your life if you want to actually feed your family.
I need to get Vince on the phone with Matthew. When we come back, we are speaking with the President of the United States, former President Bill Clinton. That's next on Mark in the Morning, 100.3 The Sound. Welcome back in, Mark in the Morning. Shortly after 8 o'clock, sports with Todd, and then right after that, we will give you a report on Dancing with the Stars with Skeeter, my wife, and Todd.
Oh, good.
Now, it is true what many people say in that our comedy sketches aren't funny. But
who says that?
But at least they're short. So if you're listening to it, you're not enjoying it, it'll be over soon. Eric, you feel strong?
I'm ready to go.
All right. Good luck to us all. Well, as you probably now know, Hillary Clinton has just made her announcement that she is running for president. Behind every great woman is a great man. We welcome now former President Bill Clinton to discuss what could be the first female president in our history. Good morning, Mr. Clinton.
Good morning, Mike.
So, how has Hillary's announcement changed your life, Mr. President?
Well, I haven't really done anything in years, so it's a welcome change.
Right.
I'll be very busy working with the interns. Mm. Now, I'm a big believer in the young talent of this country and in the White House. Mm-hmm. And based on prior experiences, my primary focus is being super vigilant of any Bush in the White House.
Oh, boy. Oh, boy.
Well, that will suck up a lot of your time, sir. Will you be advising her on campaign strategies?
You know, I've told her to connect with the people, all right? Now, learn how to sit down and enjoy a cigar. Mm. I love a good cigar, so it's not hard for me to do that. Right. I mean, the key to it is properly preparing the cigar before you smoke it.
No. No.
President, calm down. Please. Calm down, Andy. We're on the phone with the president. So, Mr. President, if Hillary becomes the next president, what will your role be?
To make sure the staff around her is tip-top. The very best people.
Right.
I intend to personally evaluate each one of them individually in my office privately.
Right.
I want to penetrate the mind of each of them to ensure a blueprint to success, blow by blow.
No!
Yeah.
Mr. President, if Al Gore decided to run, will that put you in an awkward position?
Hey, I'm no stranger to awkward positions. But Al Gore has the personality of toast, so I could give a rat's ass what he thinks.
And, Mr. President, lastly, what kind of leader do you think Hillary is?
Do not mess with her. That woman can throw a lamp. All right? At the end of the day, it's about regaining respect and trust from Hillary. And there's no way that can happen. So I'm going to start drinking heavily and look at as much porn as I can get away with.
Smart.
Ladies and gentlemen, the former President of the United States, sir, thank you so much for your time.
My pleasure.
Time has only made him more salty.
Eric, as always, a whole bunch of fun. Now, I know that I keep saying I'm going to stop doing this,
but
Eric does. Eric does so many voices, and he is a gun for hire. If you want him to do your phone mess, you do a lot of convention stuff, business. When they have conventions, you do stuff over the phone, do you not?
Yeah, and even if corporations are doing like videos, like animation or anything like that, like viral videos for training or, but live stuff too, yeah. A lot of live stuff.
So much fun. Eric, I am so glad you reached out to me when I first got this job. I'm having so much fun working with you.
And you know I love to reach out.
Eric, have a great week, my brother.
Take care, Mark. You too.
We'll do some business. We'll come back. I'm going to get Skeeter in here. I want to share a weekend, a story that happened to us where we almost said, 32 years, screw it. We want out. We'll run through it momentarily. Stay where you are. It's Mark in the Morning, 100.3 The Sound. I wouldn't mind finding out what's trending. Luckily, we've got Gina to tell us.
Well, Justin Bieber was put in a chokehold and escorted out of Coachella after insisting on getting backstage during singer Drake's set when the security told him over and over they were at capacity. He's considering legal action. Hey, new research suggests that dogs can detect cancer cells in humans with 98% accuracy. And here's what's trending in sports. I forgot to mention that the Royals of Kansas City handed the Angels of Anaheim their butt on Sunday, beating Anaheim 9-2.
You're not
the
making local friends. Suck. It's not important to you, is it?
Hey, man, it's my hometown heroes. I'm Gina Grad, and that's what's trending online on Mark in the Morning. And now let's get into the Who. This is 100.3 The Sound, Southern California's classic rock.
The Who. Mark in the Morning, 100.3 The Sound. Good to have you. Shortly after 8, Todd gives us sports. And at 8:20, Skeeter and Todd will join each other for an update of Dancing with the Stars,
ooh,
which I saw quite a bit of.
I
saw quite a bit of last night. Skeeter's here with me. But, Gina, you got a text on Andy?
38 seconds ago, I got a tweet that says, any chance Mark in the Morning starts the official days since Andy Chanley last got laid counter? Not that the weed whacker talk isn't riveting.
Awesome.
Yeah, listen, Andy.
I love social media.
It'll be a sign, it's like great. The dry erase board says, like, this many days since our last accident.
Yeah, accident.
Andy, you need to take a picture of your weed whacker and stick it up on markinthemorning.com.
Oh, you know what? It'd be even better than that. Mm. I ought to get a sound file. Or a video of that baby in action.
That's crazy talk.
Because it's pretty impressive.
I'm sure it is. Well, then please.
It's cordless, you know.
I think everybody wants to see it. And understand that have a 2-battery backup. One, if you need extra power.
Oh, my God. Oh, yeah. This conversation is sounding so nasty.
Yes. I can't wait till we're talking about dancing.
Now, those of you that are married or you're in a long-term relationship, you know how things can go the way they go. So I'll kind of go back to give you a little background. Linda and I got married in 1982 in August. And being in radio, I had the station I was working for shut down. So we had to quickly find another job and move. So now we're living in Montgomery, Alabama, and it's December.
Which there's no reason to ever live in Montgomery, Alabama.
It's true. You know how really the great cities like Chicago and Nashville, they have their own personality.
Right.
Yeah.
Montgomery has none of that.
No.
It's just concrete.
Yep. Is Montgomery near a navigable waterway near the Mississippi or the Gulf?
Yes, it would also probably be near the Tennessee River, and it's more than likely 2 hours from the Gulf of Mexico.
Okay, but Mobile's like right on the Gulf,
yes,
right? So it's not, it doesn't even have the metropolitan zeitgeist of Mobile.
No, has none of that. So it's Christmas. We've been married for 6 months now. And so we, by the way, my wife and I, we're two of those people, we have nothing in common. But it somehow works.
Yes, it does.
On certain days. So it's December, and we decide we're going to go to the arts and crafts store, and we're going to buy the ingredients that we need to make a Christmas wreath. And we're going to do it together. Huh. Arts and crafts with Mark and Linda. We're going to do it together.
Wow.
So we come back, and we start in on it. And it's, you know, we've got this, like, straw round wreath, and we've got ribbons and things to go on it.
Sure.
I kid you not. That we came literally within days of divorcing.
Yes, we did.
Over this Christmas. Yeah.
Wow. Because Mark doesn't know how to do anything.
Oh, my God. In Linda's world, there is one way to do it, and that's her way.
Right.
She doesn't listen to negotiation or an idea for something. And really, I mean, we were at blows over
this
a stupid
This sounds
Christmas.
Like the equivalent of wallpapering. They call it the divorce corner.
Yes.
Because couples will come to blows almost about trying to. Okay.
So what is the proper way to do a wreath? What were you doing, Mark?
What I should have done was I should have learned. Buy two sets and do your own wreath.
Yeah, make it a competition.
Yeah, but we didn't do that.
And
it was really, really not very good. It was ugly. I don't think we spoke for a week, and I'm not kidding.
I still have that wreath.
During the Christmas season, no less. You didn't speak for a week?
Linda, will you do us a huge favor? When you're in town for the holidays, will you pretty please bring that wreath so we can put it on the studio door?
All right, so cut to this weekend. Now, we've been married 32 years now, so it's the weekend, and we're going to go to Home Depot to pick up a few things. I needed some wire cutters for this room here. And so we're at Home Depot, and Linda eyes a tomato plant. And she goes, I want that, and we're going to go home and plant it.
I'm really sorry. I have to correct you. We weren't at Home Depot. We were at Costco.
What difference does it make?
Get your facts right.
Why are you interrupting my story, Flo?
Because Costco is a lot more exciting than Home Depot.
It is not important.
Wait a minute.
The tomato plant where they sell
tomato plants at Costco?
Yeah, and they're lovely.
Dude, you can buy a car at Costco.
You can buy a boat.
I'm not kidding.
You can buy a casket.
I'm not kidding.
Yeah, you can buy a coffin. Yep. It's true.
Okay, so apparently we're at Costco. And we buy a tomato plant, and she says, we're going to plant this together. And so we're driving home, and I'm thinking, okay.
Should have bought two plants.
You are so totally wrong. I never invited you to plant this with me.
Oh, okay. All right.
You took it upon yourself to help me plant the one tomato plant in the pot.
Since we're going to go there, that's fine. Mm-hmm. I thought I was invited to plant your frickin' tomato plant, but apparently I never was officially. So we get out there, and I had already decided I'll assist. This is her plant. She wants to plant it. I'm just the assistant. So we start in, it started with her. I'm holding the box where we're going to, because there's flowers in this pot that we're going to get out. And I'm holding the box, and she's kind of tugging at the flowers, and she goes, they're really in there. And I said, well, then really pull. So it started there. And so then.
Because you didn't want to stand there holding the garbage bag.
Well, then she starts bitching at me that I'm dropping dirt. We're planting a tomato plant. How do you not drop dirt?
Well, you're kind of messy.
See, so it went on. It was there.
You might get divorced this morning.
Listen, I'm telling you this right now. It came down to two things. I'm going to throw that tomato plant in the lake, or I'm going to stab her with this shovel.
Wow.
That's.
But neither one of them happened, and it's in there. And it's very happy. It's been in there for 2 days,
I
and
will
it
say.
Looks really awesome.
Well, and
God people didn't come over and go, where's Linda? Haven't seen her in a while. I don't tell you that, but guess what? My tomato plants are really flourishing.
This particular tomato plant grows 2-pound tomatoes.
It's a Roma.
What?
Roma.
That's not a Roma, is it?
Yeah.
Okay, well,
that's
they're
crazy.
Big.
Yeah.
It hadn't sprouted yet, but we survived it. We got the tomato plant in.
Sounds like more like a beefsteak tomato than a Roma.
It does.
Yeah.
No, it's R-O-M-A.
And it said expect some of them on the high end to be 2 pounds.
Wow. This conversation's really going to make the highlight reel. No, I think it's going to be I think it was an early girl.
Is it an heirloom?
Possibly. Yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry. Let's go back to the frickin' weed whacker.
In your face, Chandley. Take that with you. All right. Much more to be done. Stay where you are. We have got the Sklar brothers coming in here at 8:50. But right now, Fleetwood Mac. Thanks for coming in, Skeeter. This is 100.3 The Sound, Southern California's classic rock.
History. That happened, and we all let it happen.
Help, I need somebody. Help, not just anybody. Help, you know I need someone. Help.
Well, it was on this day the Beatles recorded Help exactly 50 years ago as of yesterday. The background on this says shortly before he died, John Lennon told an interviewer that he found the whole Beatles thing beyond comprehension and literally wrote Help as a cry for help. Co-writer Paul McCartney later commented on that statement.
While I was writing with John, when we were doing things like Help, I never
could have seen that as a cry for help. Because it's two guys, you know, just two guys, young guys together. He's right, when I was younger, so I was younger than today. I'm more interested in going, when I was young, putting a little counterpoint to it, than listening to what he's saying. I mean, looking at his lyrics now, it's like, God in heaven, why didn't someone notice what he was saying? You know?
It's true. I just pulled up the lyrics on the computer here. Listen to this, pretending that this isn't part of the song.
Hmm.
Help me if you can. I'm feeling down. And I do appreciate you being around. Help me get my feet back on the ground. Wow. Won't you please, please help me?
It's honestly, I get it.
If someone wrote that in a note to you,
yes.
You would call someone.
Yes.
If you saw that in their diary, you would call someone and get them on the case.
And I also understand what Paul is saying in that we're just writing a song. I wasn't. You know, and then years later, I listen back and I go, my God, he was begging for help.
Yeah.
It's crazy. Equally interesting, it was on this day in 1999 that Pamela Anderson Lee had her breast implants removed, only to have them put back in 6 months later.
Oh.
Hmm. I guess she missed them.
Wanted a different flavor.
It was on this day. See, he's going to start and do this all day now. It was on this day in 1979, the Doobie Brothers topped the Billboard singles chart with What a Fool Believes. It is the 500th number one hit of the rock and roll era. It is Ex-Spouse Day. It is National Pecan Day.
Uh-oh.
And it was on this day, April 14th, 1912, the Titanic, on its maiden voyage from England to New York City, struck an iceberg and sank, killing 1,500 people with only 706 survivors.
Iceberg, what ass!
Well, I actually thought it was in the winter. I didn't realize it was like fully into spring. I'm sure the water was plenty cold, but
well, and you know what else? They've now put pictures of the Titanic, the most gigantic thing anyone had ever seen, next to like a, you know, a princess cruise,
uh-huh.
And it looks like a dinghy.
Really?
Yes, it's tiny compared to the cruise ships of today.
Wow.
And
Gina said dinghy.
I did. Dinghy.
Pete Rose turned 74 today. Here is his record-breaking base hit.
He levels the bat a couple of times. Shao kicks and he fires. Rose swings.
There it is! There it is! Get out! Get out! All right!
Hit number 4192.
And lastly, star of the film The Breakfast Club, Anthony Michael Hall is 47 today.
No.
What do you guys
way.
Do in your club?
In physics, well, we talk about physics, properties of physics.
So it's sort of social, demented and sad, but social, right?
Yeah, well, I guess you could consider it a social situation. I mean, there are other children in my club, and at the end of the year we have you know, big banquet at the Hilton.
You load up. You party.
No, well, we get dressed up. I mean, but we don't get high.
It's been a while since I've seen The Breakfast Club. For a while, you couldn't wake up on a Saturday morning and TBS wasn't playing it.
That's true.
But whenever I do see it, the movie is classic because it is not only very funny, but very heavy with good content. It makes a good statement.
Yeah, mm-hmm. It stands the test of time. You know, nobody has an iPad, nobody has a, you know, an iPhone, but it's still relevant.
I have to see it again soon.
I'm getting ready to do something too. I'm running for president.
It's just too funny the way she says that. Look at the beginning. I'm getting ready to do something too.
Yeah, sounds
I'm
like an infomercial.
Ready to do something too.
Got
I'm
the rinker.
For president.
Well, she may have announced her plans to run for president yesterday or Sunday, but apparently Hillary can still buy lunch undercover on Monday. Her campaign road trip to Iowa in her new van nicknamed Scooby. Clinton made a stop at a Chipotle in Ohio. Sporting sunglasses, she walked in and ordered a chicken burrito bowl to go and left without anyone recognizing her. Hillary was so low profile, the restaurant's manager had no idea she had stopped in until contacted by a reporter from the New York Times and then checked the footage from a security camera. Chipotle manager Charles Wright said, quote, "The thing is, she had on these dark sunglasses. She was just another lady." Apparently, Clinton's quest to be an everyday American is working. Now, I don't want to go crazy with this, but could it be that it was a strategy on the part of the Clinton campaign? Send her in there, sunglasses, try to go unrecognized, get it, get out, and then they're making a big deal about it.
I wouldn't say it's impossible.
I actually don't think it makes her look very good. Because, you know, this is somebody who can have as much false modesty or be as humble as they want. But ultimately, they want to be recognized. They want that to be able to build their campaign and build their image. And if she can walk into a Chipotle and nobody cares, that's not a good sign.
Well, first of all, Hillary Clinton can't walk into a Chipotle without Secret Service around her and bodyguards and an entourage.
And
there's just
nobody
no way.
Noticed.
And no one notices, really.
Well, but she, I mean, I know it's not Ohio. We have, you know, some stuff going on here. But people walk in and there's security at restaurants. You think, oh, he's an ambassador, oh, he's whatever.
Well, the thing that gives credence to what Mark just said is in her video that where she announces she's running, it takes 90 seconds for her to show up. It's filled with all these scenes of American workers doing this and doing that and, you know, and getting on with it. And I'm doing something, too. I'm running for president. I'm going to get a Chipotle bowl.
Now, you brought up an interesting point that hadn't crossed my mind. Why would they allow her to walk into a Chipotle with no security?
They didn't. They couldn't have.
So you're going to notice security.
You'd think.
I'm not buying it.
Here's a question. I don't know if it says this in there. Did she pay? Did she give a card that said Hillary R. Clinton on it?
Running for president. Yeah. I'm assuming she would pay with cash, right? You're buying a burrito. What do you need to whip out a credit card for?
I know. It's pretty convenient.
Yeah.
Well, check it out. 1 million people have pre-ordered the Apple Watch.
I don't get it. I was sitting in bed with Laura the other night, and I said, I don't get it. What you just said is, I mean, it's true. If 1 million people order it and they pay $500 a pop, Apple just made $500 million, half a billion dollars over the weekend. But what's it going to do for me again?
It's going to make you feel like a 1960s spy.
It doesn't do anything except for to tell you need to have your phone with it. All it does is tell me to look at my phone. I don't understand.
I am the guy that I'm going to wait. I'm going to let these million people get their smartphone and then a watch. And then if the word comes back is, oh, my God, you have to have it. You won't believe what it does.
That's what Sam Peasley, our
he's our canary in the coal mine.
Yeah, he does all of our social media stuff and our website and everything. And I asked him about it. He said, I was going to do it, but I'm going to keep that $500 in my pocket. I'm going to get the second one because they're going to fix everything. They're going to find ways to use it. They're going to beta test it all over the place. And then I'll spend my money and I'll be happy with it.
I doubt I'll ever have it because I can't wear anything on my body.
If it can make a call, then there's something. If my wristwatch can make a phone call without me having my phone, otherwise, why? I just have my phone.
Because you have no love in your heart for Dick Tracy. That's what I'm hearing.
Yeah. New York, the greatest city in the world. Well, we're starting to wind down to the last show for David Letterman. He has named his guests for his final 28 shows. The Late Night Vet will sign off on May 20th, but before then, he's going to sit down with Bill Murray, George Clooney, Steve Martin, Jerry Seinfeld, Robert Downey Jr., Will Ferrell, Tina Fey, Tom Hanks, Scarlett Johansson, Sarah Jessica Parker, how'd she get in there, Don Rickles, Julia Roberts, Ray Romano, Howard Stern, Oprah Winfrey, Martin Short, John Travolta, Michael J. Fox, Alec Baldwin, musical guest Elvis Costello, Dave Matthews Band, Mumford & Son, Nora Jones, Amos Lee, and Tracy Chapman.
They are not announcing. My name's not on the list.
Another
dream has to die.
Yeah, not here. They have yet to say who will be his last guests, but in case you don't know this, way, way, way back in the day when David first came on Late, Late Night with David Letterman on NBC, his very first guest was Bill Murray.
Right.
Oh.
Then, when he moved to CBS, his very first guest was Bill Murray. So I have to believe.
Yeah.
My money is front runner. His last, very last guest will be Bill Murray.
I think so.
That would be great.
I wonder if the very last show might just be him on his own, like Johnny Carson did, you know, thanking people and going through all that stuff so he doesn't have to get weepy in front of guests.
He's not, yeah, like, he's not a sentimental guy.
Yeah, he, when he had his open heart surgery and came back from that, and when he had the scandal with, you know, the interns and so forth, he'll stamp his feet and tear up and not be able to go on for a few seconds. I think he's going to get verklempt, as, as
our people say.
As your people say.
Since we've had a little political yadder, this break, Gina, why don't you allow Sarah Palin to read the ID into some stones?
Okay, Mark, sounds like a plan. Well, 100.3 The Sound is KSWDFM in HD1 Los Angeles and Orange County and Wasilla, Southern California's classic rock.
You know, I am completely on board for banging Sarah Palin until she opens her mouth, and then it's over. Well, let's not waste any time. Let's find out what is happening in the world of sports. We welcome in Todd Frickin' Donahoe. Good morning, Todd.
Hey, great morning to you, Mark. That was a very exciting memo there from Dave Biesing on the ratings. Did you get the second memo?
I did not.
Yeah, apparently we would have gone up a little bit higher in the ratings had we not started talking about planting tomatoes and weed whackers. Okay, but other than that, okay.
Wait, other you, than that. Of all people, Todd, you would love weed whacker tomato plant talk.
Yeah. You know I do. Are you kidding? I could do a full hour on planting tomatoes.
Okay, if we can only talk about...
We plant our tomatoes. And you know how I love to do gardening and stuff, weed whacking. We'll do the garden hour one day.
If we can only talk about golf and dancing more, I'm sure that's what's going to tip the scales in our favor.
All right, before we lose time, let's talk sports.
Yeah, okay, Tiger and the Masters. We didn't talk much about Tiger and the Masters, but I just wanted to say this about Tiger and the Masters this weekend. He didn't suck. He wasn't bad. He didn't embarrass himself, and that's very, very important. He looks like now that he is at the ability to play golf at a high level and to compete for championships. That's all I want to say about that.
Linda and I were watching it, and he was walking off, and Linda said he wasn't really in contention. I said no, but I think he did what he set out to do, and that was to show people that he can still play.
He made shots that a top golfer makes, so that was great. Clippers beat Denver 110-103. They're tied for second place in the West for that second seed, a three-way tie with the Spurs in Houston. They just have one game to play, and that's tonight at Phoenix. Heard Gina earlier on say the Lakers now 21-60, lost their 60th game last night. They'll have the worst record in franchise history if they lose their last game to Sacramento. Of course, that game's in Los Angeles, and the Lakers lost to Sacramento last night, 102-92. We've been talking about baseball. The Dodgers 6-5 winners over Seattle in 10 innings. Alex Guerrero, a bases loaded, two-out single, bottom of the 10th to give the Dodgers the win. And David Freese, two-run home run, his third of the season. Angels 6-3 over Texas. Mike Trout, by the way, batting 417. The guy is unbelievable. Now, here's your sports story of the day. You'll only hear here on The Sound, okay? And that is, there's a rookie named Paolo Orlando for the Kansas City Royals. He's a 29-year-old rookie. I mean, he finally got called up after like 9 years in the minor leagues. Well, his first three major league base hits were all triples.
Wow.
He is the first player in Major League Baseball history whose first three Major League hits were all triples.
Woo! A lot of Royals talk today. I'm loving it.
And that's why the Royals are the only undefeated team in Major League Baseball. They beat Minnesota 12-3.
Todd, before we leave baseball, this is one of my favorites. I think both of you are going to enjoy this. Ted Williams, the great Ted Williams, had one of the most celebrated baseball careers in history. And his game started to decline, and so he decided to retire while he was still respectable and could still play the game. Todd, tell everybody what Ted Williams did at his very last at-bat before he retired.
At Fenway Park, his last at-bat, and everyone knew this is it. Teddy ball game is going to be leaving. The splendid splinter has retired. This is his last game. They're not making the World Series. He hits a home run, the 521st home run of his Hall of Fame career.
How many people can say that? What a great way to go out.
Yeah, went out on top with the home run. He batted, I think, close to 300. Well, his last year, and I think he was competing for a batting title around age 40, so he was a tremendous hitter. Barry Bonds says, why the hate for Alex Rodriguez? Gee, I wonder why, Barry, and I wonder why you wouldn't understand.
Todd, I had to ask you because I watched some of the Yankees game last night, and I have to ask you, we're talking about a guy who still has not said I took steroids, but there was a trainer, right, who said under oath, I injected Alex Rodriguez, and he knew what I was injecting him with. Am I correct in that so far?
No, absolutely. And he did admit to taking steroids several years ago, but then says I haven't since. But look, he knows he was busted. He knows what the deal is. He's just not going to talk about it. And, of course, neither will Barry Bonds. But Barry Bonds wondering why the hate for Alex Rodriguez. How about because people like you and Alex Rodriguez have made a mockery of the baseball Bible, which is the record book, for crying out loud. That's why. The hate. People have standards. They have ethics, morals, and that baseball record book is like a Bible.
So what
NFL
does it say?
Former running back Lawrence Phillips, once the number six pick in the NFL draft in the mid-90s. He's spending 31 years in the Kern Valley State Prison in California for choking his girlfriend twice and running a car into three teenagers. Well, now he's suspected of killing his cellmate. I got a funny feeling he's going to be in there a long time. And wide receiver Michael Crabtree, I think he's a good wide receiver, too. He's leaving the 49ers, signing with the Raiders.
So that you all know, Todd, of course, has been on with us for two or three weeks, and he's on the phone. The really pretty nice, expensive equipment that's going to make Todd sound like he's in the room with us has been ordered. So we're hoping in the next week or 2 weeks we'll get him up so it'll sound really nice. It's tough on the phone because he can't hear when you try to ask him a question.
That's a problem. And I hope people don't realize I'm not ignoring you or whatever, but sometimes, you know, you just can't hear the interaction. So
Todd Donahoe is not throwing a diva fit, everybody.
Todd, who makes this job possible?
Hey, it's my friends Joe Caso and Bob Corson at Frontier Toyota. They're so confident they can deliver the right experience for you. So when you go to Frontier Toyota Valencia, just say, "The Sound sent me," FrontierToyota.com.
Todd, you stay right where you are because coming up next, it is a report on Dancing with the Stars with Skeeter and Todd. It's starting to heat up in there. Stay where you are. This is Mark in the Morning, 100.3 The Sound. Both Skeeter and Andy are dancing.
Yeah.
Well,
it's really my kind of thing.
It's really starting to heat up on Dancing with the Stars. There are three, in my assessment, that are really great and have a shot at it. The rest of them just need to go ahead and call out.
Well, I have to tell you that the first hour and 40 minutes last night was a total waste of time.
Well, it's just, and Todd, I think you'll agree, that it's just that rumor and the Olympian and the dude that was dressed like Johnny Depp.
Riker and rumor came out, and they came out hard, fast, and awesome.
They're really good. And yes. Riker, you guys, Andy, Gina, you would like Riker because he's in a band with his family. He is a musician, but he is very dedicated to trying his absolute best, and he's staying up there with. But what did you think, Skeeter, was the best dance of last night?
I'm thinking it was Rumor and her Ursula. It was Disney night, which is kind of silly to me, too. But she was in full makeup, Ursula, and I mean, she danced incredibly.
And it was weird because it was almost like Disney was promoting the park.
I know,
and the Disney.
Yeah.
Todd, what was the best dance for you last night?
Well, I love the Disney whole thing. And I mean, of course, look, Disney owns ABC, so that's why they're on there. But, right. You know, all the great Disney songs. Last night, the costuming and the production and the set work was about as good as it's ever been on Dancing with the Stars. And Linda's right. The way the dancing order was stacked, the weaker dancers were first and the stronger dancers were last. But I liked Riker and Allison's Paso Doble. I thought that was a powerful dance.
It was.
Why is it so funny hearing Todd Donahoe say Paso Doble? Right.
I'm trying to sound like Bruno for crying out loud. You know what I mean? It's a powerful dance. So, yeah.
I mean, look, Suzanne Somers, I find difficult to look at. And I'm glad she's gone, because it really, with all the plastic surgery, that mouth that goes from earlobe to earlobe.
Yeah, but that had nothing to do with her dancing. Her dancing, though, was last night, let's just put it this way. She sat on the floor during her dance and watched her partner dance.
She didn't even try hard, though.
She needed to go, yes.
Yeah. And then the same with Patti LaBelle. What the hell?
I would think that Chris will be soon to leave the show, and he had low totals at 27. He's the Bachelor. Then Patti LaBelle, and then probably Noah. And then you'll get down to the final four, which, as you guys said, will be Nastia, will be Rumor, will be Riker. And I think Willow Shields and Mark Ballas, also pretty good team in there.
Hey, by the way, that Riker in real life, Riker Lynch, is cousins with Derek and Julianne Hough?
Yes.
Yes.
We knew that.
I didn't.
Yeah.
I'm just trying to add something, because I could care less about that. I'm doing my taxes.
Well, this is still the third most watched television show on television.
Yeah.
And so I just wish that there weren't so many that don't need to be there, because it kind of, you know where it's going.
Well, you have to go through the process. Otherwise, you wouldn't have a 2-hour show every week.
All right. So your prognostication, Todd, who will leave next week?
Chris the Bachelor.
And I'm going to say Patti LaBelle. They both need to go, so it really doesn't matter to me in what order. And then the Shark Tank guy, he needs to go.
Oh, he's all
too.
Robert.
He's in a sense, he's kind of forgettable. I didn't even think about him. You know, seriously, I mean, he'll be going fairly soon.
And Todd, I'm going to ask this every week of both of you to see if it changes. Who do you think is going to take it all?
I will go with Nastia, because, of course, she's dancing with Dancing with the Stars MVP, Derek Hough.
Skeeter.
Well, Todd's probably right, because she is the gymnast, but I'm rooting for Rumor.
Well, the articles, and again, I saw a clip of her dancing, but the articles on social media are talking about that Rumor tore it up last night.
She did.
Did she dance to Poor Unfortunate Souls from Little Mermaid?
Right, yeah. She was Ursula, the witch, the sea witch.
They used the song. Nice.
Well, we'll try to take a look at it each week. Todd, thank you for hanging on, and Skeeter, thanks for coming downstairs.
You're welcome, baby.
We'll slice off some business. When we come back, Gina's going to trend. And in about 30 minutes, the Sklar Brothers, live here on Mark in the Morning. This is 100.3 The Sound.
All right. Mark's gone to see if Timmy's in a well, and we're going to trend with Gina.
Well, the Miami-Dade airport set up hidden cameras catching many baggage handlers stealing out of people's luggage. A woman claims a tattoo parlor in New York, best known for its VH1 reality show Black Ink Crew, left her disfigured. And boy band One Direction has posted their first official picture without Fifth member Zayn Malik since he chose to leave the band. Way to pick up the pieces and move on, boys. I'm Gina Gratt, and that's what's trending online on Mark in the Morning. And now, how about a little dream on? This is 100.3 The Sound, Southern California's classic rock.
Aerosmith. Steven Tyler, we had him on the Mark and Brian program, and he came in, spent an hour, and then he proceeded to work his way all over the building, posing for pictures, signing autographs, talking with people, because it meant a lot, and he knows that. And I was impressed with the fact that he did that. You know, he's in a classic rock radio station. He knows everybody wants to see him. And nobody left without an autograph or a picture taken. My book, that's a good dude. This is funny. The bomb squad was called to investigate a suspicious package at the Sacramento Sheriff's Department on Friday. A passerby called 911 to report seeing something weird propped up on a ballot box in the voter's registrar's office. The initial responders determined that the package in question was not dangerous, but they were too young to grasp what it actually was. A sheriff's department spokesman who did recognize the familiar object said, "We still had to x-ray it and make sure that it was safe. It turned out to be an 8-track tape."
You're going to say a book. That's great.
That's great.
You know, the 8-track for me was great because we went from records to cassette tapes. No, from records to 8-track. And the 8-track was important because you could take it in your car.
Right.
That was the first time you could listen to music of your choice without turning on the radio.
The thing that's weird about the 8-tracks, and anyone that remembers having them, anyone that remembers having an album first and then getting on an 8-track, is they switched around the running order. Because you listen to an album now, and you know what song's next. You know, that's the great thing about listening to an album. You know what the next tune's going to be. Right. On the 8-track, they had to move them around because they needed to fit them all neatly onto the 4 channels.
Right.
And so you would hear, you know, like a Beatles record, and things would be, Rubber Soul, things would be out of order. It was just infuriating to me.
Yeah, I get it. And it never was perfect. But for the fact that you could put on whatever album you chose in your car, which is crazy
you
talk.
You must have been drunk with power.
It's insane.
Trivia question. Do you know who invented the 8-track tape player?
I did.
You did it?
I don't know who did it.
I was not aware. The Learjet people. Whoever invented the...
Mr. and Mrs. Lear?
Yeah, his name's Lear. George Lear or whatever. But he came up with that. That's why the original 8-track players in cars were made by Learjet.
I'll be damned.
Yeah, how about it?
Did not know that. We have all just been schooled on something. From our parental section.
You know, Miss Buckman, you need a license to buy a dog or drive a car. Hell, you need a license to catch a fish. But don't let any butt me...
Have a kid. Because he cussed. Yeah.
Well, I'm going to pick up Julie.
A 13-year-old Ohio boy went crazy after his mother took away his cell phone, but he later learned what it's like to use a payphone from jail. The boy's mother took away his phone after he refused to clean his room. But she probably never expected such an extreme reaction. The kid spit in his mother's face, threw a Gatorade bottle at his stepdad, and then destroyed the family car.
It's funny.
Police say he smashed the windshield, dented the roof, and caused $1,000 in damages. His parents had their son arrested for assault and vandalism, and he is now in juvenile detention. Good, you pig rat. Jesus Christ.
Danny likes
Danny's
it.
Danny's so happy.
Yeah. Well, I'm not happy.
It's a feel-good story for Danny.
Danny, why is it so entertaining?
This is pig rat at the end. It's a good cap to that story.
But,
you know, one of the reasons, now, I'm not saying this is always the case. I know that there are some kids that are uncontrollable. There's nothing the parents can do. But for the most part, these kids act the way they do because, in my opinion, talk me down, because they're allowed to. These parents did the right thing.
I think that's part of it. I think that also, we're going to open up this can of worms. I think that a lot of children get too much sugar.
Mm. Okay.
And they get spastic and they run around and then they get labeled as hyperactive when really they just had 4 popsicles and some orange juice and some candy for breakfast and then they can't concentrate and they run around, they get labeled as this and then it just snowballs. I think a lot of it is people, I mean, my kid he's 4 years old, you get 1 cupcake in that boy and he is a blast furnace. He is all over the place.
Well, you do the right thing as a parent. You only give him 1 cupcake.
Yeah, it's still a parenting issue.
Oh no, I give him 12. But but I think that when you see someone who is behaving poorly, if you look at their parents, I'll agree with you on this. You look at their parents and you'll find the source of a lot of that bad behavior.
I want to get this one other one out. We got to take a break, but I want to get this out because I don't know. Parents Danielle and Alexander Mativ made headlines when they were found guilty of unsubstantiated child neglect for letting their 6- and 10-year-old kids walk home alone from a park only a mile away. At the time, they insisted that they would continue, allowing their kids to walk freely about their neighborhood. Their parenting philosophy entails allowing children to take responsibility for themselves, in opposition to the so-called helicopter parenting. A neighbor called 911 when the kids were spotted about a third of a mile from their house. Personnel picked the kids up and took them into temporary custody.
This is the most amazing irony of all ironies. The kids were just fine walking to the park by themselves, and the parents weren't concerned about anybody snatching them up except for Child Protective Services and the police, who actually snatched the kids up when the parents didn't know where they were until 10:30 at night. How sick is that? Like, the neighbor, like, what busybody sees a 10-year-old walking and goes, oh, that simply won't do in this
I walked to school every day when I was 10 years old.
As did I. More than a mile. And was perfectly fine. It blew my mind. And what is the protective service? Why are they getting involved in that?
Because it was an issue of, are these parents neglecting their children because they're allowed to walk to a park?
Well, we walked to school and home, and I'm fine.
And you're
uphill,
still here.
Both ways, in the snow. Try telling that to kids today, and they won't believe you.
You know, it was then that I learned this lesson. It was about a mile and a half from school to my house. And there was a day when I needed to get home, I think because Cousin Cliff was going to be on, and he shows Three Stooges and Casper the Friendly Ghost, and I wanted to see it. I've got a backpack on, and I learned that if I started trotting, and you get really, really winded, if you keep going, you push through that and you move to what they call a runner's gait. And it was as a kid that I learned that. I didn't realize, nobody ever told me that, but I just realized if you keep going, you'll get into a gait, you won't be exhausted, and you'll get home in plenty of time.
Oh, nice.
Well, now you know.
And you owe it all to Captain Cliff.
Cousin Cliff.
Cousin Cliff.
Jesus.
He's not a kangaroo, Danny. Yeah.
The hell is going on? And I didn't realize at the time, when I was watching it as a kid, I didn't realize at the time that every city had a Cousin Cliff.
We had Cowboy Bob.
Okay, see? Cousin
and
Cliff
Sourdough
did,
the Singing Biscuit.
Cousin Cliff did Doodles. He had Rubbin' Rocks. And all of them.
What was that?
He had a glass fishbowl container of really shiny Rubbin' Rocks. And if you did good or answered the question right, you got to reach in and get a Rubbin' Rock.
And rub
but
his
you,
rocks.
You filthy-minded people took it. We're talking about innocent children's afternoon television.
Yeah.
And look, the gutter was where you took it.
Cousin Cliff. Doesn't that sound a little dicey right there? Cliff. I don't know.
It was where I was introduced to, in my opinion, the greatest comedy that we've ever had. And there are sitcoms still copying, move for move, the great Three Stooges.
Sure.
Well, you know, in some ways it's true. I was born and raised on the Three Stooges. My dad would come home from a late night at the radio station, and I would be standing up in my crib saying, I want to watch Three Stooges. He would put on Sermonette because that was the only thing on at that hour. And I go, oh, Three Stooges. So it's in the family grad blood as well.
Nice. We're going to speak with the Sklar brothers in just a second. And then I'm going to share it with everybody, a little gift, because it really, with what's happening, it really has become a phenomenon. So I'll explain it and then hopefully help you find it. This is Mark in the Morning, 100.3 The Sound. Welcome back in. Mark in the Morning, 100.3 The Sound in the room. Thoroughly enjoyed talking with these fellas once they first sat down. Randy and Jason Sklar. Good morning, fellas.
Good morning. Thank you for having us.
Thank you for coming in. Now, we're going to get into their stuff in just a second. I want to quickly share with you the gift that I was talking about, and it literally is a phenomenon, and I think the Sklar brothers can weigh in on this. Mm-hmm. There is the world of podcasting,
sure.
And podcasting has been what it is. I do a podcast. The Sklar brothers do a podcast. Mm-hmm. Gina does a podcast. Andy, I don't know what he does.
Look at me. I've got a podcast.
All right, Andy.
I'm not sick of hearing it either.
So hateful.
So there is something that has happened that is quite literally the most important thing that's ever happened to podcasting. But beyond that, it is one of the most riveting things I've ever listened to. Mm-hmm. And I'm talking about the podcast called Serial.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Now, what this thing has done, what it basically is, it is a story, a crime story, where a guy was in prison for murdering his girlfriend, though he says he didn't do it. And this lady heard about it and starts to investigate it, and she becomes addicted to investigating it. Mm-hmm. And the serial is her telling you the story of how everything unfolded. And this woman, as she was investigating the story, she recorded every single phone call, every single conversation. And Serial is, I think it's a 15-episode podcast. It's over now, but it's still there for you if you want to hear it. And they're about to come out with season two of the same lady with another deal. Mm-hmm. What happened is people that don't even know what podcasting is went in there and listened to it. And now that it's over, those people are floating around the world of podcasting looking for other stuff to listen to.
That's right.
Mark Maron said it has revolutionized those of us who do podcasts. Mm-hmm. He's noticed his downloads double because of all these people. So the point is this. If you really would enjoy, and it is my daughter. My daughter, Amy, her boyfriend, Bradley, listens to the podcast, the Mark and Linda podcast, and he heard me mention Serial. So he went and he listened to the first one. He told my daughter, Amy, about it. She binge listened in one day and knocked them all out. And now she's depressed because it's over.
I'm depressed because of, well, I don't want to give anything away, but I thought you were going to say my daughter's boyfriend is Adnan, which would have been so crazy.
So
she's standing in jail.
It is a very listenable, well-told, beautifully produced. Guys, it's NPR, right?
Yeah, it is NPR.
It is.
Okay. It's kind of
a woman from This American Life. She was one of the reporters from that show, and she went on this sort of like vision quest.
I mean, it's amazing because it is gripping and riveting, and I will agree with you. We sat down. I remember we were doing like shows in Phoenix over a weekend, and I just got into it, and literally the whole weekend I was like listening to it to try and binge listen to it. I listened to like 9 episodes of it, and it is amazing. And she actually took a lot of grief for like the way she spoke in very colloquial ways, like that it wasn't really, she wasn't
hard-hitting.
And I have to say, I kind of agree with that criticism sometime, although I was in rap the whole time, but there'd be a moment where she would be talking to like somebody who literally is a suspect and do it. She'd be like, I mean, did you do it? Not yet. Was it there? Where's the weapon?
I mean, what is going on?
But it smacked of that This American Life human interest. And
yes.
And she never claimed to be anything else.
Totally
that's
true.
She is. But there's all of these campaigns now to help Adnan Syed, the kid who's in jail.
I know.
And one trust here, it says the Adnan Syed Trust, it has almost $100,000 raised.
It's crazy. And so, I mean, that's why, and what's amazing about it is it's like entered into the way we talk about things. Like when The Jinx came out on HBO, I don't know if you guys watched that.
Oh, you have to watch that.
That is just the crazy. Robert Durst, who is now in Los Angeles. Bye bye, mommy.
Bye bye. I said, Douglas, come downstairs. I have a surprise for you.
I would like to give you something from my backpack.
No.
It's gonna explode in your face.
You dirty.
I killed them all.
I can't.
I killed them
No,
all.
The mic's still on, Bob.
I killed them all.
Mike, the mic's still on, Bob.
I'm one of them, and I'm going to kill more.
So if you want something
like people called it like this, it was like Serial meets True Detective. That's essentially what they were saying about The Jinx. But in order, you
that's
know,
how pervasive and how amazing Serial
is. What you're saying, Mark.
So if you want something that's great in your life, and I do believe the day is going to come back where those of us that are in podcasting look back at Serial as the one that brought mainstream into the world of podcasting.
It's a watershed moment for sure. Absolutely. And it's great for all of us.
I'll try to put a link on markinthemorning.com so it can be easy for you to figure it out. Okay, these two guys, I'm a giant sports fan. I watch way too much the NFL Network. Mm. I'm that guy that's during the combine, I watched offensive lineman bench press. I'm that guy.
Oh, we know that.
What's his shuttle times? You know
and so these two boys are not only very, very funny, they're huge sports fans. My first question before we get into exactly why they're here, we're going to go a little long, Andy, so just get ready for that. Who is the number one draft? Is it Jameis Winston? Is it Mariota?
You know, it's all about needs and the team that and what they need at the top. I mean, I'm not convinced that Jameis Winston is a bad pick. I mean, he can force his will on anyone. Wait, did I say that?
Oh, no.
He can force his will on anyone in the Tallahassee Police Department.
He can force crab meat into his pants in the Publix. Yes.
No, no, but I mean, there was footage from his pro day in Florida State where he like threw a ball like so deep down the sidelines, and then the receiver went out of bounds in and like went into the ESPN camera crew, and then his lawyers came out and said he went into that camera crew under his own volition.
Yeah,
he
it was it. Consensual. Fully
Jameis
consensual.
Didn't force him into that.
I think he could be, you know, and he actually has a lot of skill, but and he's smart, but he could be like the next Jamarcus Russell, which would just be terrible.
Yeah.
Or Vince Young.
Or Vince Young, you know.
Vince Young had some decent years. I mean, Jamarcus Russell did nothing. Vince Young had some years.
The problems, the mental
off
problems.
The field Well, so Johnny Manziel kind of ruined it for anyone who's ever had an off-the-field problem because everyone's like, he's the man. Johnny Manziel's the man, and now he's the man in rehab because, you know what I mean? It's like he's the guy that no one's going to, now they're no is going to sort of spend a huge contract on somebody that even if there's the slightest hint of an off the field problem. And so, look, Jameis Winston could be a great pick and prove everybody wrong, but do NFL teams want to take a chance on that and put the franchise on someone like that?
Well, boys, I'm a franchise team, a PSL owner in Charlotte, watching Cam Newton and Luke Kuechly do what they do. I'm completely addicted. What is the Cinderella team this year? Cinderella team that nobody's talking about.
I'll tell you, and I'm going to say it. It might surprise some people. The Seattle Seahawks.
No, get out of here. They got a tight end now. I actually think the St. Louis Rams, and they play in the toughest division. I think San Francisco is going to be down, and I think the Rams are going to surprise a lot of people. I've always said that Jeff Fisher is a winner.
No question. But what about Nick Foles being brought in?
I think that's
new.
A great call. I actually like Nick Foles. I really like him better than Sam Bradford. And so I feel like this is going to be, they have such a good defense, the Rams, that they win games that you're like, I can't, they have no business going in.
And this kid, Trey Mason, is actually going to be a good running back. I agree with you. I think the Rams have a shot to surprise some people. Well, and I think the Eagles are going to be a really good.
But you know, as a Carolina Panthers fan, defense can carry you so far, and defense can carry you into the playoffs, and that's when the defense steps up and wins you playoff games.
Well, before this last season, when Cam had come off surgery and we didn't have a great running core because D'Angelo was hurt, I said to anybody who would listen, I said, our defense is going to keep us in games while our offense learns itself, and then Greg Hardy decides to throw his girlfriend on a bed full of guns and threaten to kill her, and losing him
was a big really separate bed for your guns.
Right.
Yeah. Can we just say
that's
that?
What we all
like,
you
that's my gun
honey,
bed.
That's the gun bed.
That is the takeaway, I think, from this.
Just, now, I think that's the real.
If you just joined us, Randy and Jason Sklar are here, and I deserve the right to say that we are now best friends. I have enjoyed your work forever
thanks,
and ever.
Thank you.
And I want you on this program more than you actually want to be on it.
No.
We'll be on it, man.
We love it. We love being here.
The boys are going to be at the Flappers Comedy Club and Restaurant. This is coming up April 17th and 18th. Two shows, 8 and 10. Now, I have to assume, I've never seen you live, but I have to assume this is a very funny show.
It's fun. It's different. You know, I think most people, you're used to seeing one person standing up there doing their thing. With ours, it's, you know, it's two people. There aren't a lot of two people comedy, like comedy teams.
Not anymore.
It used to be that's all there was. The Smothers Brothers, Martin and Lewis, and, you know, I mean,
Bob and Ray.
There was like, that was kind of what it was back in the day, but now it's sort of
Obama and Biden.
You know, those are all comedy teams. But these days, there are very few. And I think what we do borders between both sketch and stand up. And, you know, I mean, again, if you're a sports fan, you'll totally love what we do. I mean, we're.
It's not all sports, but there's a
heavy
nice
dose of that, but in a way that even non-sports fans can enjoy it. I mean, I'm so excited about the NBA playoffs, and even not so much about, like, actually the NBA, the games themselves, but just for watching the NBA on TNT. Just because, like.
Inside the NBA,
Shaq and Barkley are on the same show, but
you listen to them, it's like they're on two different programs.
Like, two completely. They could be on two different channels, because Barkley is just telling everybody. everybody to
listen to him.
To listen to him and telling everybody to tell other people to do stuff.
And Shaq is like on Inside the Actors Studio just telling everyone things he's done.
Yeah, barking his like,
that's terrible. Erna, you tell Kenneth to tell
Shaq.
You
tell
Erna to tell Kenneth to tell Shaq to tell me
ask
that's terrible.
How it tastes.
Erna, that's terrible. Erna, tell Kenneth to tell Shaq to tell me to tell somebody that's terrible. Erna, that's terrible. Erna, I can't see a highlight. I need a fish and rod. That's terrible.
Hey, Kobe. I want to see you do this,
everything
Kobe.
Is terrible. I'm None the of man, these players no. could play against
I'll put
the
an ice hot sleeve on a Buick.
All I heard was icy hot sleeve in there somewhere.
Yeah. And terrible.
Now,
terrible.
Now, I gotta know. I mean, you guys are brothers and you work together.
Yeah.
How often does it get dicey, or have you learned how to keep it clean?
Well, we're twins, actually, which is even closer, which is so weird. But yeah, I that is actually a benefit for us. We both we have this relationship that is deeper than just two people who have come together, and so we understand what's at stake. Sometimes we get in each other's face a little bit. I think I have a little baby right now. I have a son who's six. Randy's kids are older, and so I'm more enwrapped in the baby, and I think more of the work has landed on Randy's shoulders, and he's not saying anything right now, but he's upset about
I'm
it.
I'm just stewing.
He's just quietly stewing in the corner.
Is this the first you're hearing about it, Randy?
Yeah, no, wow.
No, I'm
noticing that my workload has somewhat doubled.
Yeah, recently.
Now we're getting it out in the open. Thanks, yeah. Mark. Yeah. Thanks, Andy. I think that
with a situation like that, you can dump a little bit more on the other person and understand that it ebbs and flows in a way because we've been in a relationship our entire lives.
Yeah,
and
we're like in a marriage. This is like we're 43. It's like a 43-year marriage.
Think about most 43-year-old marriages, okay? Everybody understands what everybody's doing. There's zero touching.
Yeah.
It is.
We sleep in separate rooms.
Sleep in separate houses, essentially. But I do think it is. Having families definitely separates. Has been the best thing. It's the breath of fresh air that we need right. so that we can work together. Because you go home and you're in your family, and my kids don't think of me as like one of the Sklar brothers. I'm just dad.
Right.
I'm the guy who is, you know, telling them what to do. So I'm like I'm the hammer.
Right.
But, you know, and so there isn't this. We actually get a break away from each other, which is good because it allows us to live and create more.
And appreciate doing the comedy, I think, too.
Well, I want to do a little bit of business. This fall, there's going to be a show here on Mark in the Morning that was a podcast, and I couldn't get a foothold because there's so many sports podcasts out there. But it is with Sam Farmer. He covers the NFL for the Los Angeles Times, and it's going to be called the Pro Football Slam with Mark, Todd, and Sam. Todd is our sports guy. I would like for periodically you guys are going to be on Friday and Monday. Friday, we take a look at the upcoming NFL games, and on Monday, we review. And so periodically, when you've got time, I'd like you guys to join us for that.
You sure. got it. Love
it. Of course.
It. Would love to.
By the way, do you do fantasy football?
We do. Yeah. I do.
I would have to imagine that your smack talk is par excellence.
The smack talk is yes. so fun because you just get so deep into things that aren't even like. And it's great.
I once told someone I was up against that your season is like the nation of Egypt. You started off with the Pythagorean theorem and the pyramids. You start off great, and then you haven't done anything since. You've just gone way downhill.
You brought Pythagoras into this. That's unkind.
Imagine if we had Randy and Jason periodically do smack talk on a phone call with each other.
I love it, dude.
Well, what I was going to say is, if we have a fantasy football team this or league this fall, with you, me, and other people from the station, should have a team.
I've been in two leagues. I mean, that's really with kids, you can't go much more than that because you just aren't good. It basically waters it down.
Right.
But like I won my league like 3 years ago, and I haven't really done anything since that point. But I won my league 3 years ago. And I will say, it was one of the most. I definitely took the victory far, like it was a bigger thing.
Oh, it's the greatest thing ever.
It was essentially
you won on the last play.
When Drew Brees broke the record. I had Drew Brees and Darren Sproles. So when Drew Brees broke the passing record and threw the touchdown to Darren Sproles at the end, by both of those guys. So I got all the points, everything, and I won by 1 point at the very end.
I love it. Wow. I won it more than heroin. It's the greatest
it's
thing.
Ridiculous.
And when you win it, it is actually better than having one of your children be born.
It's
like I won an Academy Award.
Yeah.
All right, now, before I let you get out of here, I've been watching Miami make some acquisitions and some moves. Do you guys, can they compete with the Patriots in that division?
I mean, I don't think so. I think the Patriots are just so good. You know, the Patriots, you see, and you see these teams that sort of come back year after year in every sport. Okay, you say, why is Duke, why did Duke win? Why is Duke constantly winning? Well, they have the best coach, basically John Wooden of our current era.
True.
And he gets the best players. So not only is he, you know, I think Calipari is a good coach. Is he as great as a coach as Krzyzewski? No way. So you're kind of like, he gets the blue chippers and he's the best coach ever. Well, Belichick's the best coach, you know, maybe this game has ever seen, and are definitely up there, and he's got the best quarterback, and he's got great players. So
and he cheats.
And he cheats.
And he cheats.
So you've got all these things.
It's a triple threat.
Think about it. You add the cheating to his legacy, and that's what it is.
Well, no, I mean, that's when you see, when the Patriots have a guy who you've never heard of before run for like 204 yards in a game, in the midseason game, you're like, oh, that's a great system. I'm looking at it. They're plugging in guys around Tom Brady. When Tom Brady loses his receiving core and then still is passing for touchdown, you say, oh, that's a great system.
Yeah, they lost so many players and so many marquee players, and they still would win like 10, 11, 12 games every year. And you look at, you know how hard it is to win that many games, especially in a good division. So I think it's going to be hard for Miami to compete with that. Not to say that they can't make the playoffs, and I think Ryan Tannehill is a decent quarterback, but I think it's going to be difficult for them to, you know, he's not Tom Brady.
Tony Sperano is no...
Bill Belichick.
No. You guys will get a kick. I had Coach K on my radio program in the room. And I don't follow college basketball, but I do love great coaching. And I asked him, how is it that you, year in, year out, because your players change, you've got new guys, and yet year in, year out, you produce winners. How do you do that? And he said, well, obviously at Duke, our recruiting is off the charts. We get some of the best athletes in the country. But he said, what I do is I teach each of these men a system of tools where they can dig inside themselves and be better than even they thought they could be. Yep. And I show them how to do it every day.
And he preaches defense, and he preaches, like, you know.
And he recruits role players. Like, he knows how to build a team. He's unbelievable.
Well, the Sklar brothers, by the way, my new best friends.
We're in. I love it.
Now, listen, if you want to see these shows, you're going to need to get this done quickly, because there's only four shows.
Yep.
17th and 18th of April, 8 and 10 o'clock on each day. So do the tickets now, because it is going to sell out for each one of them.
That's a flat
gentlemen. Yeah. Oh, and by the way, what are we talking about? A 1-hour comedy special now streaming on Netflix. Does that suck or is it okay?
We loved it. I mean, it was so fun. And if you watch a lot of the NFL Network, you will love the way we framed the whole thing. We basically
treated our special like as if it were an NFL playoff game.
So we got Rich Eisen, we got Dwight Freeney, we got Terrell Thomas, and our buddy Omar Dorsey. Who's a great actor. He was in Selma. He was in
Django Unchained.
He's a great actor, and he's played football for Georgia. But we had them sitting around at the NFL Network on the studio, basically talking about our comedy as if it breaking it down.
So there's a pregame show. There's a halftime show.
And we actually got Bonnie Bernstein to do sideline reporting, like a pre-show and a post rant. And so it's really fun. If you enjoy that, you will. I think it was framed in a way that you normally don't see. So that was
awesome. Will check it out this weekend. Randy, Jason, Sklar boys, thank you for coming in, and I'll see you again soon.
Thank you so much, Mark.
Thanks, Mark.
More Mark in the Morning yet to come. This is 100.3 The Sound. Mark in the Morning, 100.3 The Sound. Uncle Joe is in the room. What do we got for the 10 at 10?
Featuring the 10 at 10, the year that Magic Mountain opened and they had a 6.7 quake in Sylmar.
Ooh.
You think there's a tie-in between that? 1971, great year for music. The Sound's 10 at 10, supported by Ventura County West. Discover beaches, food, and fun you've been missing. Pretty good, huh? Thank you.
That's nice. That was nice. Dramatic.
Stay awake that way.
Yeah.
Tomorrow on Mark in the Morning, we will assemble the players. Itty Bitty Theater returns, and it is a penguin joke. So get ready.
Oh, goody.
And my penguin stress ball ready.
Chick on the Street is back in the room, and the great Taylor Hawkins.
Oh, sure, podcasting is great, but have you heard about this new invention that puts Mark in the Morning directly in your car each weekday morning? Yeah, it's called FM radio, and you'll find Mark in the Morning there on 100.3 FM in Southern California. Thanks for listening.